Ein herzliches Willkommen zum Burak New Business Advice Podcast, dem Podcast rund um das Thema Neukundengeschäft und Agenturpositionierung. Willkommen zu diesem Podcast und bisher haben wir uns ja, was die Corona-Krise und die Implikationen für die Agenturen angeht, relativ stark auf Deutschland konzentriert. Jetzt wollen wir das Ganze mal ein bisschen weiterfassen und wollen mal gucken, was so in anderen Ländern passiert. Und dazu bin ich mit Marta Di Girolamo. Was ist korrekt?
It was. Okay. Yes, right.
Verabredet, die als CEO von Cray in Italien ist. Und für diesen Kontakt möchte ich mich bei Jan-Philipp Jahn und bei Alexander Renningknöpfel von Cray in Deutschland in Düsseldorf bedanken.
Auch der heutige Podcast besteht wieder aus zwei Teilen. Nach Italien werfen wir einen Blick nach Spanien.
Hi, Marta.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How's living in Italy? You're in Northern Italy, right? You're in Milano, right?
Exactly. Yes, I am. It's pretty challenging nowadays. Let's say we are at our sixth week of lockdown. So we're trying, fighting, resisting.
So what we're seeing on television is that there are a lot of people ill. A lot of people are dying.
Yes.
Is this what you see also in the northern part? It's a little bit different in the southern, but is this what you're seeing in the northern part?
Yes, we had approximately 20,000 deaths in Italy, half of which in Lombardy, actually, which is the region where I live. So yes, the situation is pretty tough. Luckily, let's say that the officials are believe that the curve is finally flattening. So this is why also the government is still not taking any chances. Actually, they're extending the lockdown further for other 3 weeks, even if some small bookshops or children's clothes stores are reopening in these very days. Not in Lombardy again. Here the situation needs to be kept under control.
And do you have friends? Do you have colleagues who are infected or ill or even worse?
Yes, we have some friends, some colleagues, some clients as well. Most of them weren't hospitalized. They didn't need it to be hospitalized, so they just stayed home and faced a very high fever and other symptoms, but they didn't need to be hospitalized, while unfortunately we also had a couple of losses in our friends and families.
What does this make with you? So this has an effect on you, right?
Of course it has. It has on all of us, actually. We are a community. We are suffering from every single loss we have as a country. Just for you, to imagine, we already lost 110 doctors, 30 nurses, 10 pharmacists. So it's all the community, which is, mourning all these losses. So it's not only when it comes so close that it hurts in general. It hurts as a nation, I would say.
What will it make with the society after when the pandemic is over? Will something happen? Will something change?
Hopefully so. I mean, I think we have the moral duty, to take a lesson from all of that. I don't know which lesson. We are still, trying to understand what the future will look like, but hopefully it will be a better future. We need it to be better. We need to learn something about, everything that we went through, that we're actually still going through.
What will you learn? What will you hopefully learn?
there's a lot every one of us is thinking of in these days that we're staying home. I think that this virus, the first thing that I would say is that it makes us all equal. I mean, it doesn't know borders, it doesn't know religions, nationalities, maybe age, but still, you just feel like you're equal to everybody else outside. So you just feel the urge to behave like a single community inhabiting the world. This is, let's say, the bigger learning that I'm taking out of that. But I think that we will also need, to learn many other things on how we work, how much we work, how we live in this planet, how we respect nature, how we respect each other. let's say that when, you know, you're facing this kind of crisis, because this is a global crisis, you need to come out of it, hopefully, better than you were before.
So at the moment, you're not allowed to leave the house, or what is the situation at the moment in northern Italy?
Well, again, Lombardy and the northern part of Italy is different from the rest of the country, because luckily the restrictions that the measures that have been taken in this part of the country are working, are looking effective. So the situation here is much worse than in the rest of the country. We are allowed to go out, to go to the supermarket, to groceries, to the pharmacy, but for the rest, no. Let's say that we are very much invited not to do so. So we are keeping many, many days at home also without leaving. This is the best we can do to help, you know, a national system which is being put under real, real pressure.
And the police is controlling it, or what?
Yes, they're going up and down the streets, they're outside the cities, just, you know, to make sure that nobody's leaving the city. And this happens in all the north of Italy.
How do people act when they are together, a couple of persons together in a small apartment? That must be really hard for them, right?
Oh, well, yes, let's say that every family is living a different life. I mean, I'm sharing my apartment with my partner, so it's just the two of us. But I can imagine how life must be when you have children and maybe not that big apartment, or maybe not, you know, a balcony or a garden where to go out. So it can be pretty challenging, I think. I'm a privileged person. I think that I have a job, I can still do it, and I can do it at home, which is, you know, it's again makes me a privileged person. I have not a small house, but many people is experience a different kind of lockdown. So this is why I'm saying that at home. I'm also very, very lucky person.
Yes, most of us, right? How is the economical situation? How is the situation with grey in Italy at the moment?
Well, the economic situation, doesn't look that nice. Some of the best indicators show that the Italian economy will likely shrink by as much as 6%. And this happened only if the crisis is over by May. So you can imagine if it goes on for another month, it's going to be a major blow, especially for small business. And as you might know, 95% of the business here in Italy employ less than 10 people. So it's a country made of small business, and which cannot expect to be open within the next several weeks. So again, this is going to be a major blow.
So you need help from the European community? Is this necessary?
We need help. Let's say we need help from the European community. That would be good, yes. But many countries are already helping us, also outside the European community. We got help in many forms. Some countries sent us doctors, for example, to face the crisis. So apart from the economical support, we're also receiving another forms of support from other countries, which is, you know, really appreciated. From Albany as well, we got very, very important help from them. But I think that all of us will need each other. Every country will need help at a certain time.
Do you have business with Grey at the moment? Do you have pitches, or is there something? Or
yes, I would say that we have less pitches than before, of course, because a lot of clients are facing even bigger, of course, challenges that we are facing. So some of them postponed their investments, many of them cancelled their investments. Of course, it depends on the, you know, on the category they're operating in. So food clients are doing great, while other kind of clients are really having a bad moment. So it really depends on which client you're working with. But yes, I would say that current business pipeline is slowing down. We still have something to do. I think that the worst actually was in the past weeks, and that the situation might be better let's say, within mid-May. This is our expectations in terms of pitches.
In Germany, a lot of agencies do what we call here short work time.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, there's a cat.
There's a cat. Yes. Sorry about that.
Just working a few hours and the rest will be paid from the government. Do you have this too in Italy?
Yes, we have this possibility. You can apply to that. Actually, it's around 80% of your salary, which can be paid from the government. This is one possibility, yes. A lot of companies are applying to that.
What will be in May or what will be in June? What do you think?
What do I hope?
It's hard to say. I know this.
Yes, it's really hard now to make any kind of predictions. I mean, I think that all of us have been reading a lot of reports coming from many different sources. So we're full of data, we're full of predictions, but the truth is that nobody knows how it will go. So let's say that if the curve keeps on flattening, we might have better months ahead. This is our hope. We hope that we left, you know, the worst in our past weeks and that we can at least look for the rebounds. This is what we are all looking for.
We have just talked about the situation in northern Italy. In the south, there are not so many corona-infected persons, right?
Definitely less. Yes, half of them are in the northern part of Italy.
Do you think the situation will be changed in the southern part, or will it be stable?
I'm not qualified to make any prediction, but from what I can see, the restrictions that have been taken are working also, you know, to prevent the rest of Italy to see their situation worsening. So I would say that hopefully it can be stabilized.
Okay. So Marta, thank you very much for your insights and stay healthy, right?
Thank you very much. Stay healthy too.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Im zweiten Teil des Podcasts wollen wir uns jetzt nochmal die Situation in Spanien anschauen. Und dort bin ich mit Maximo Lorenzo verabredet. Er ist CEO von Cray in Spanien. Hi, Max.
Hi, Heiko. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you? This is more interesting. How is the situation for you personally in Spain? You're in Madrid, right?
Yeah, I am based here in Madrid. Well, the situation is, as the media reflects, it's very critical. It's the second most impacted market from this crisis in Europe. So it's a complicated situation. You know, the curve seems to starting to flatten a little bit, but it's still, in my opinion, it's still a lot of weeks ahead that we're going to keep this quarantine and we're going to be confined. Personally, I'm doing okay. After a month of being at home, I was able to manage working from here, from my house, and organizing the team. And we were lucky to have most of our clients active. So it changed a little bit the habits and the dynamics that we used to have. But so far, it's working very well. It's very well for us.
Seems that there are not so many ill people and not so many deaths like in Italy, for example, in Spain. But it seems that there is a really bad situation in the hospitals in Spain at the moment. Is this right?
Well, it's better than last week. They were able to ease the pressure on the intensive care units in the hospitals this week versus last week. The death rate continues to be high and the contagion rate continues to be high. My personal opinion is that I think that the contagion rate or the contagion curve doesn't reflect the reality. So in my opinion, it should be only referential because I am sure that there's many, many more infected people, asymptomatic people, or even with, you know, very few symptoms or light symptoms. So in my opinion, the only valid indicators are people that are released so that they get the COVID away and they are released from the hospitals. And then, unfortunately, the number of deaths. No, there isn't a very big difference with Italy. I think that they are still in the range of the 700 deaths per day around. We're in the 500, but it's still a very large number. There was a huge mess in the hospital, in the hospitals in general, being Madrid, where they got the worst situation. It seems a little bit stabilized right now, but it continued to have a lot of pressure on the sanitary side in all of the senses.
You told me that there are lots of criticism concerning what the government has done. What do you mean exactly?
I acknowledge that there are many actions that were mistaken, like, for example, the government allowing the women march on the 8th of March. And that was a massive source of contagions, massive, that march, because it was multitudinary. You know, it was 100,000 of people in that march. And the government, knowing that this was coming, they allowed this event to happen. So like that, I think there were some other big mistakes in the management of this crisis, in my personal opinion, and you can read it also in the news. But I think this is a time in which the politicians, the government, and the opposition needs to come together. It's a time of trying to find solutions. It's time to think about the people. And not, you know, in my opinion, this is not a time to blame each other and not, you know, I'm not going to support you in here and there, because I think it's pathetic. This is not a law. This is not a, you know, an initiative that it's run by a Senate and has, you know, this is a major crisis. This is a major global crisis. And if this doesn't find the society unified and united, regardless of the ideology, I think it's a big mistake. And it's what it's showing, that Spain has many, many problems in facing and dealing with this crisis.
What is this crisis doing with you? What is this crisis doing with the society?
With the society, I think that, like in every country in the world, it got us by surprise. And I think we still don't understand what happened and what is happening and where this all began. You know, I can read in the news, especially in the last 2-3 days, that there is a lot of controversies and a lot of discussions about the origin of this virus. And there are some documentaries talking about this was not originated in that market in Wuhan. It was originated in a laboratory, and there's a lot of discussions on that. So I think that the society didn't understand, and it still doesn't understand what is going on, especially the old people. From my side, what can I tell you? It's been an interesting experience. I'm confined here with my family. I have 3 kids and my wife. We live in an apartment, so there is no, we don't have a yard, or we don't have a swimming pool or anything like that. So we barely see the sun. Fortunately, we have a dog, so we can pet the dog in the mornings, and we can, of course, go and buy groceries and stuff. I try to remain optimistic. I will not lie to you. I think I have my ups and downs, and I feel lucky because, you know, I have more work than before the crisis, because our clients remain very active. And you have to add to that now everything is remote or is in Zoom or in Teams, or in that makes you be very, very disciplined and organized on how you put your, because at the end, you also need to help here in your house and your kids and everything. So
are you allowed to sports outside or something like this?
No. We are only allowed at this point to, you can, of course, you can go to work. They release some of the non-essential jobs and work. They released it last week. Beginning on Monday. So you need a permit to circulate in the city. But then if not, you cannot go running, for example. You're not allowed. They put you a ticket if they find you running in the street, like a 1,500 euros if they find you running in the street or practicing sport.
And I've heard that when you go to the grocery store, you have to take the nearest one.
And where I live, it never happened to me. I could go with nothing and just take some plastic bags, but I go with my cart, you know, with my cart. I take my cart there and I put everything in that cart and I bring it here. So yeah, for convenience, I use the closest one, but no, there isn't any risk. They suggest people to go to the closest one, but you're not obliged to go to the closest one.
You have told me that you had yesterday a pitch, and I was a little bit amazed that there are pitches going on in this situation. But this was good news, wasn't it?
This is very good news, because this keeps the morale high. We're in the process of, you know, 3 or 4 pitches right now. And again, it's maybe 1 or 2 are for the account, and the other are projects that we pitch.
Where will we be in May or in June? Or where will you be in May or in June?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I think that everybody's wishing, and we were talking before recording the interview, there are markets that are pushing to open the economy as soon as possible. I don't think it's the case of Spain. I think in this market, we need to go very, very slow. And I was thinking of an analogy, you know. I assume that you have seen the movie Jaws back in the 70s, right? Steven Spielberg.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure, but anyway, yes.
Jaws, the shark. The movie
okay.
From the shark.
Okay.
It was the movie, the first movie from Steven Spielberg. And there was a scene in the movie where the mayor of the city was saying, you know, we caught that shark. You know, we have to open the beaches. We have to go and open the beaches because the season. And so he pushed the policeman to go ahead and open because they thought they cut the shark, and they didn't cut the shark. And then came this, you know, this crisis. I think that taking it to here, I think we have to be very cautious on how and especially when reopen the economy, because I think that a second outbreak of this virus in a market like this one could be devastating, but devastating, you know? So to your question, I think May is going to find us everybody at home, or most of the people still at home, confined. Certainly the kids, I don't think they're going back to school this year. They're speculating that we might follow France path, which is May 11. But I think I will bet that May will be here in the same place, unfortunately.
Okay.
Now, this seems really
a long time, right? Okay, Max, and thanks very much for your time and for your insight. It was very helpful.
No, I appreciate your reaching out.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Über Feedback an heiko@burak.de freue ich mich.